Welcome to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright. This show is all about honoring you as a spiritual being, having a human experience. You are here for a reason, and it's no mistake that you are here on Earth right now. Spirit has guided you to this very moment in time, so you could hear the messages Pam is about to share with you. She is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, transformation coach, wife and mother, committed to helping you discover the tools and practices to empower you to live the best life you can. You get to choose the spirit path you take. You can connect to the spiritual guidance already all around you. Get ready to live a fully empowered life. This is the Empower Me Show.
Welcome to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright. My name is Pam. I'm going to be your hostess for this wonderful program today. We're in our second episode today, and I am joined by my beloved David Buck, who is my husband, my life partner, and my spirit partner for life. So welcome, David, to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me here. I'm glad to have been part of this process. We've co-created, co-produced, and co-written and directed all of these episodes in this show with the help of Transformation Talk Radio. And we really want the Empower Me Show to be a whole collection of tips, tools, and techniques for you to help find your way through this life that can be hard to navigate sometimes. And so as we get used to this journey ourselves, we hope that we can share some of that with you.
I am so happy to be joined by my husband and my beloved here. So some of the things that we want to share with you is our greatest contributions to each other in this lifetime. And I know for myself that it was really, really important for me when I had my near-death experience last 2001, that I had somebody that I could hold on to for support in learning how to navigate Earth life once again. Because it took a long time for me to kind of come to grips with what had happened to me. And it was important that I really inhabit fully who I was at the point that I came back. And David really helped me to own that part of myself that I had previously to my coma not allowed to have a voice. So thank you, David, for the honor and privilege of having you as my helper in this lifetime. So what has been one of the biggest contributions in your life that I have contributed to you?
Well, I would say it's a bit of the opposite, because before I met you, I really hadn't connected much to the world of spirit. I just thought it was something outside myself, not something that I could, call forth from within me and partner with those energies around me. And as you'll see, as I tell my story, it's totally changed from how I first believed it. In fact, if you ask me the main question of the show, the signature question, it'll be a very different answer in my early life than it is now. But I want to start by sharing something with you, because what we hope to do at the top of every episode is a little grounding technique or activation, in this case, grounding. I know I help you out a lot with grounding and staying grounded. And this is actually a stone that I got from the Medicine Wheel Tribe that led me on my vision quest. I'll be sharing with you about that a little later. And I had this with me on my vision quest, so it remains a power piece for me. If you don't have such a power piece, I recommend, it could literally be anything. I actually brought action figures with me because it was a source of inspiration for me then. So a rock, a crystal, an action figure, a painting. It could be something that's special to you and unique to you. And so I'm just going to close my eyes for a moment and connect to this and have the energies of the hawk and the coyote come to join me here so that I can deliver the information clearly to you. And hopefully it is well received. And why I say hawk and coyote is that that is my spirit name, Hawkayote, which is hawk and coyote put together. And before I was led on the spirit quest, the vision quest, one of the gifts that people get from that is to have a spirit name bestowed upon them by the Native American elder who's leading it. And his spirit name was Bear Who Talks Much and really lived up to his name. And so beforehand, I knew that I wanted to have a part in this spirit naming for me so I could fully own it. And so I came to him with that idea, and he went away with it for a while and came back and said, yep, that is your spirit name. So that's how that came to be.
So Hawkayote, mm-hmm. I honor you for who you are. For me, and who you are for the listeners, and who you are for the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What was one of the first spiritual experiences that you remember in your lifetime?
Well, it started with music for me. I've loved music all my life, and it's just been a source of inspiration. I would say the first part of the journey towards embracing spirituality really had to do with passion, the drive to accomplish things, the passion for helping other people. And when I graduated from listening to elementary songs and started listening to the radio and hearing pop music, I heard a lot of passion in the songs. People were talking about heartache. They were talking about achievement. They were talking about having fun and celebrating. And it just, it ignited in me a lifelong love for the energies that music has to deliver, you know, profound communications in a short amount of time. And another thing that happened for me early on is my parents were involved in Werner Erhard and Associates, otherwise known as S, now known as Landmark. And they had gone through the trainings and invited me to come do the program for young people. And so I went and did the S training for young people at age 9 and kind of got introduced to the notion of being. In fact, the very first seminar series was called Be Here Now. Something that it's a tool I've used all my life, and sometimes it eludes me. But I know that there's something so magical about this moment. So I've been inspired by those notions all my life. And it introduced me at a young age to the idea of, just because I think things are one way, it ain't necessarily so, either for myself or other people. So that was a nice thing to grow up with. But honestly, there a more profound impact that that network had on me was involved with the Hunger Project. I got to go down to San Francisco and help out at the headquarters, sort mail. And I still have the letters I got from my third grade class, I believe, that said, we miss you. We look forward to having you come back. Your really simple letters, but keep things from your childhood if you can, because they will help you all your life. But what was impactful for me about that time was I was introduced to the fact that there were people starving, dying of starvation. And I'd never wanted for food. I'd never starved. I never had that experience that there were people in the world who were faring so badly that, you know, it was an extreme situation. So that kind of fueled my passion for continuing to see what I could do to help out.
That's so wonderful, David. And what I do also know about this particular organization that you were involved in, I was also involved in the S training and in Landmark Education. And what I know about this program is that they are committed to transformation. And so it really allowed us as a couple to come together with a foundation for life so that we were not going to mess around with being in reaction and being hurtful and being doing any of that stuff that would get in the way of what we're really here to do. And so we are committed as a couple to be spirit partners for life and share that with all of you listening and watching this program. So thank you for sharing that experience as a young boy with us. So if I were to ask you as a young boy what it was like for you being a spiritual being, having a human experience, what would you have said?
I wouldn't have understood the question at that point, because for me, like I said earlier, it was something outside myself. Now, slowly, I became aware of intuition. And just knowing that intuition was like this little force guiding me. I thought of it at really like Jiminy Cricket on my shoulder, that the idea of intuition was common knowledge. I had a very sort of analytical analysis of what intuition was. So I didn't understand it. So I felt like I was sort of being guided by common knowledge and just general awareness of things, but that it wasn't connected to spirituality. And the other thing, though, that slowly became I became aware of was this notion of spirit guides. You'll see an owl behind me and a wolf behind me. And it was somewhere around 1990 when a couple of things happened. My best friend was going off to college, and he said he was going to study comparative religions. And I was like, well, I'm not sure I didn't know that there was something so interesting about looking at the differences between how people embrace and express their faith. But I can tell you, if you're interested in that, there's a great series that you can find on YouTube called Around the World in 80 Faiths. But that's an interesting show. The other thing that happened, really, I owe a debt of gratitude to Kevin Costner. Because when he played in Dances with Wolves, I was blown away by that experience. And I started getting into Native American spirituality, and it really became a significant source of inspiration for both of us, really. And it wasn't until the year 1999, the same year that Pam and I met, that I consider I had my first of three near-death experiences. I had come out of a relationship, and it was an opportunity to not only be with that person, but be with her children and become a father. And when that ended, I was suicidal for a while. And it was significant for me. I didn't obviously do that. Didn't even attempt it. But I really had to face a lot of demons. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about how we met and how we found each other in the middle of breakdown and all the breakthroughs that led from that. So we'll be right back after the break.
Finder of Lost Things, exploring your superpowers of trust, healing, and transformation with me, Hannah Belton. When my brother Christian went missing, I completely denied my grief. We can either transform and transition, or we can stay stagnant. This podcast will uncover the process that Christian and I went on to find the lost things, him, and to find the parts of me that were missing. And there's things that are missing in you that prevent you from letting go, whether it's a person, a dream, a lifestyle. That process of trusting and finding the lost pieces and integrating them, that's where you get your sustainable transition that will carry on. Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. You can find me at hannahvelton.online.
TheAngelLady.net.
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 1-800-323-1790. 1-800-323-1790.
Sue Storm.
Sue Storm.
TheAngelLady.net.
TheAngelLady.net.
It's your turn to reclaim your life. Experience the unmitigated joy of breathing life into your own passions, into your own purpose, with me, Life Coach Ricky Schwartz, at MyTurnLifeCoaching.com. In the meantime, tune into my show, My Turn Life Coaching, live every second and fourth Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
When was the last time you had that feeling that you knew something, but you couldn't explain how you knew it? How powerful would it be for your life and business if you could consciously tap into that magic within you? What if you could remember that there's something supernatural about you? Tune in to Absolute Alignment with Christelle Biga, When Success Feels Easy, every first and third Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back. We are the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright. And I am joined here with David Buck, my husband and co-host for this program. So I would like to know, David, how we met.
So we met in a professional personal coaching school. I'd been seeking. Before the break, I'd been talking about what inspired me early on in Native American spirituality. Really was a kind of a tipping point for me. And yet I still knew I was missing something. I didn't know what. So I knew I wanted to have something to do with helping people. And I found out about the emerging world of personal coaching. This was in 1999. So it was still fairly new back then. And there was coaching schools popping up all over the place. So I found this place called the Academy for Coach Training, went there. And lo and behold, you were there as well.
Yes, I was. And I remember how enamored I was with this silver-haired young man in a suit that I was watching from afar across the room, and he was engaged in his life. He was talking to a bunch of people, and he seemed happy, and he was really, like, I imagined that if I'd seen his face, there was light coming out of his eyes, and I have noticed this many times in my life with him, that he has a natural illumination from the inside out, which I still find really wonderful and warming to my heart to experience. So we had an experience on, like, one of the last days of coaching school where we were engaging in an exercise together that we needed to share with the audience about coaching. And what happened with that, David?
We were up on stage. So it's interesting to find ourselves here again, because within days of meeting, we had to do an exercise to be up on stage to talk about what personal coaching was and how it could benefit people. And we kind of relaxed into it and had fun with it and found that we had some synergy. And ultimately, that has led us to this point. So I think coaching was really a touchstone for both of us, because we'd both been struggling in our lives. And it was great to come together in that way. And then you invited me to experience one of your other healing techniques. And what was that?
So I was a massage therapist, and I was really connecting to the way to get people in for massage so that they could experience a mini vacation for themselves. Something that was separate from their normal lives, something where they would feel like it was a special experience. And this man, who was very quickly becoming my boyfriend, I just wanted to give to him. I just wanted to share my heart. And that was the way that I knew that I could do that. So we set that up for him. in my little condo. And what was your experience with that, David?
Well, I've got to do a shout out to the power of intention, because it was your intention to create a magical space. And I really felt like I'd entered another world. It was a little room. The lights were darkened. There was candles on, soft music, crystals, and a variety of things, like some of the things you'd find behind me, that was just spread around. So it was a warming, welcoming place. So I felt at ease. And in the massage, something happened for me. It was, I took a journey. I'd never experienced this before, but the best way for me to say it is, I touched infinity. I felt like there was a moment when I had experienced all that there was, all that there had ever been. And it was just for a moment. It didn't mean I was given any clairvoyance about the next day's lottery tickets, or I saw the evolution of the dinosaurs. It was just a moment of perfect clarity. And there was, it was another tipping point for me in my spiritual development. This phase of my life, I would really say the first phase was about discovering passion. This is really about discovering potential. And I've been interested in what are the limits of human potential? How can I help people reach those? How can I reach those myself? And I still was seeking. And so we were together for a couple of years after that. And then you had your stroke and your coma. And this was significant for me on so many levels. And I would say that it was an opportunity for me. It was a challenge. It was a test. And I didn't even know what that test was. I didn't know what I'm about to tell you at that time. But it was the first time for me to take a spiritual stand for something. What happened for Pam, just in case you didn't tune in for last week's episode where she talks all about it, was that she had a stroke and ended up in a 10-day coma, very near death. So this was the most profound near-death experience, the second of three for me, that I had experienced. And I didn't know what it meant. I didn't connect to stroke. I didn't connect to coma, but we'd been together for a couple of years and enough to know that we've been bonding over spiritual practices. And so I took a stand that she would live when the doctors were saying she's not going to live, when her brain had swelled within her head to the maximum capacity. And they were saying to her parents, she's not going to make it. I think you need to start preparing. And this is exactly what they did. Because that was the appropriate thing to do at that time. So they called in a pastor and they were preparing. Well, I can tell you that the pastor later said he never experienced anything like that in his life. He's not the only one that said when he walked into that room, he felt and they felt that there were other presences there. And I'm not claiming responsibility at all for creating that space, but I will say that it was my efforts, the efforts of our friends at the time, the music that I played with the specific intention of bringing her back, inviting her to come back from wherever she was, because she got lost somewhere. And for me, I didn't want that to be the end. So at the same time that the doctors were telling her parents, I don't think she's going to make it, and they were preparing for that, I went to them instead and said, so here's what I think is going to happen. She'll recover. She'll wake up. She'll recover. And when she recovers, I'm going to ask her to marry me. And their response was, oh, David, that's very inappropriate. I think you're out of touch with reality. And I was barred from the room at one point. And part of that was that she grew up in a traditional Lutheran, I believe, right, environment. And so they believed in strict Christian values, and that's absolutely fine. Nothing against that whatsoever. And Pam had gone in a different direction and helped me go in that direction as well. So I took all of those energies and all of those teachings and all of the the people that we were in circles with, and brought it to that room, and really we all brought our intentions for her healing to happen. So there was a bit of a spiritual war in that time frame. And so when I said, I'm going to marry her, as a declaration, it was an opportunity for me to kind of take a spiritual stand. And I'd never done that before. I didn't even know what that was. And like I said, I didn't even know that I was doing that at the time. And so what happened indeed is she did wake up. She had a near full recovery. Several months later, I asked her to marry me. And the following year, we did get married. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about what happened for us after that. So we'll see you again in just a moment.
Shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth, and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
Inspire, create, empower, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way, every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to the Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit nancylandrum.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Want to ignite your best life full of joy, passion, and purpose? Then join me, Stephanie James, for The Spark, Wednesday nights, 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and learn how together we can illuminate the world. Learn more on StephanieJames.world. The best is yet to come.
Welcome back to our Empower Me show with Pam Bright. David, I am so moved and touched by who you are for me and for the world. And I have an acknowledgement for you. So one of the things that I found out after my coma is that David had put together a playlist for me in the hospital that he played every single day that I was in the hospital. And one of the ways that I was able to remember my experience with my powwow with the angels was through a piece of music that called Loving Touch, that I had a recall of my powwow with the angels. And he told me the reason that he made that playlist is so that if I wanted to stay on Earth, that I would have an anchor for being able to come back.
Mm.
And so, mm-hmm. David, that's who you are.
Mm.
And you have always shown me who you are, and thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So this part of this program, David gets to share with us about his vision quest and his whole experience with what we call the clan. So, I met this group called the Medicine Wheel Tribe Otter Clan. And I really wanted to share this group of amazing people with David. And so I invited him to come with me into this group. And what happened when you got there?
Well, it was an introduction to ceremony, to spiritual practices. I've been seeking, and I hadn't really put anything into practice because I wasn't aware of it. So we would do drumming circles. We would do blessings. Every time there was a new baby, there would be that kind of a blessing. And like I said at the top of the show, people would receive their spirit names. They didn't have to necessarily go on a vision quest to do that. I did, and I'll share that story. But it was a great place for us to come together in community, and it felt really great. There was another thing about this particular type. I think we're going to be talking about Native American spirituality more in depth about a month from now in our next Spirit Partners for Life show, and we'll feature a special guest on that show. And the part of it is called the Medicine Wheel, and the Medicine Wheel Tribe, it's so rich. I shouldn't even go into it because it's too rich. There's so many wonderful things about diving into that world as a way of living. And so one of those notions is leading people on traditional vision quests. There was a movie in 1985 called Vision Quest. Really didn't have much to do with spirituality, but it started planting a seed in my mind that, oh, this is interesting. What is that about? And, you know, I knew for a long time that I wanted to find some sort of quest, some sort of ceremonial guide to embracing this world of spirituality. And what happened, so 3 years after you had your stroke and coma, something finally happened for us. And what was that finally happened?
Well, finally, I got pregnant. I had been pregnant a couple previous times that led in miscarriage, but then we got pregnant and we were celebrating. So this was an important time for David to do this vision quest.
And it really was, because for me, when we found the news, when we found out that news, I knew I wasn't ready. I didn't know what to expect. It's such a huge life change that I felt like I really wanted to prepare myself for that. And I'd been going to the clan for a while. So I said, okay, it's finally time. She gave birth in November. I went in on my vision quest in September. So it was like a last minute opportunity for me. It wasn't just for this reason alone. It was really the culmination of a lifetime up to that point of wanting to deepen and embrace spirituality on a deeper level. But I went in with an intention, which was to prepare myself for what was to come, because there was a lot of unknowns. Now, that intention was met. I did successfully navigate through parenting for the most part. But I can tell you that I had some expectations about the vision question. It's different for everybody. And there's always profound things to find, whatever kind of experience you have. But I expected that I would go on this. It's halfway through, maybe the skies would open up, the light would shine down, and suddenly everything would become clear. Well, that didn't really happen then. What did happen was I was very, very busy. I was in a circle, and the setup was 4 days and four nights on top of a mountain, no food, no tent. So it was a test of endurance. It was a test of perseverance. And it was a test of just being with myself. So in speaking of being, I had known from my childhood that I was probably allergic to bees, and I knew I would be surrounded by them. So I had to kind of make peace with that. So there was another challenge, a whole bunch of challenges all at once. I did take an EpiPen with me, but the message that I got from the bees, because I had been opening up to the messages from the living creatures and even non-living things like rocks, was just to be of service. And it wasn't so radically unknown to me. It was just driven home a little more, to be more of service. But I can tell you that this was the last of the near-death experiences for me that I really had, because I had my own close brush with it. And here's what happened. So 4 days, right? The first 3 days, beautiful weather, just enjoyed the time. And on the last day, the clouds started gathering, and then into the evening, it started raining a little bit, and then it was raining more. And then it was pouring, and then it was literally cats and dogs, and it was pounding rain. And I didn't know if I could survive that because I was shivering. Even though I had a raincoat, I didn't have a tent. I didn't have shelter. And I didn't really know the limits that a person could endure before they suffer from hypothermia, for instance. So it was a real test of endurance. It was perfect. You may be seeing the end of this story already, if you're familiar with this kind of thing. But the rain did stop, and then things got even more interesting. So the place that I was at was next to a river, and when I set up camp there in the first place, the river, kind of a mellow stream, nice gentle sound, was about 5 feet below the embankment. After that storm, literally, it was about a foot or less from the embankment. So very close to like flooding my camp area. And it was a rushing, raging river at that point. So very vocal, very loud, very animated. And so there was that, just to kind of have that kind of extreme. And then, though, when it cleared up, there was a big noise in the forest. And I did not know what that noise was. Well, I brought some things with me on my journey, and I have a couple to share with you here. This is a spirit staff that I made for the journey, and has a little rattle here and several things that I put together, and I used it as a walking stick and kind of a power piece. And I knew enough to know that if there were wild animals out there in the forest, you've got to make some noise. So I was literally doing this to the forest and making some noise, and started singing to the forest. Completely forgot all the lyrics to all the songs I'd ever known in that moment. So I just kind of made up some stuff. But I also brought Sting with me. If you're familiar with the Lord of the Rings, there's a replica of Sting. So here I was with my flashlight, my Sting sword, and my staff, kind of scanning the forest to see if I could tell where this sound, a loud crack, had been coming from. I didn't see it, but I knew that it could be a danger to me. And I had my back to the river, And I had already kind of resolved in my mind that if faced with a wild animal versus the river, I would go in the river. So now neither of those things happened, but what did happen is an owl flew down onto a tree branch. I would say 50, 75 feet away from me maybe. And I believe it was a white owl. And it studied me for a while, trying to see if I might make a nice dinner for it. And then it flew away. And I had known about that the owl had been like a portent of death, and it's a sign of danger. However, the spirit of the coyote is very much reverse of things. And there's a lot of humor in coyote and a lot of backwards notions. So for me, I took those two things to mean the danger had passed. And the big lesson for me of the vision quest at that time was that I could survive the storms of my life. And I did after becoming a parent. It really, really helped me. So again, I would encourage you to consider finding some sort of quest. Have somebody lead you in an experience that could help you discover what your hidden strengths are that you didn't even know you had.
Yes. So yes, you did go on that vision quest, and later on in my life, when we knew that I was strong enough, I went on my own quest that was geared just for me, which was wonderful. But I would echo also what David said, which is that this is your life, and every single moment you get to be having your own turning point. So if you feel like you are done with where mm-hmm. you've been and you want something else that is better, less chaotic, less painful, less scary, whatever your words of defeat are for you, look at the different ways that you can take the reins with your life, because it really is about co-creation with the divine. So when we come back, we are going to talk about what, like, bringing it all together for you.
Mm-hmm. And we're just about to take a break. I do want to mention one other thing. On the splash page on Transformation Talk Radio for this episode, there are a couple of resources that for me represent my vision quest journey. There's a Pinterest pin board with some pictures on it that that were reminiscent of some of the imagery that I had. But more importantly for me, there's a playlist of 42 songs on there that take me through that journey. And you may discover that some of that resonates with you as well. Why 42? Well, if you've ever read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you know the answer. So we'll be back from break in just a couple of minutes.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Join the new Earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, my name is Diane McClay. I'm comfortable being in front of people. How to make things work in a structured format made me feel a little nervous. Everybody I have worked with on the Transformation Talk team met me with enthusiasm. Their confidence in me spilled over to me and allowed me to just grab onto it and say, oh yeah, that's me and I can own it. Thank you for showing up for me. Thank you for allowing me to put my gifts into the world, and thank you for making me look good while I do it.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Last segment of our episode today. And David, I have a really important question for you that I'd like you to answer. So at the beginning of the show, I asked you about being a spiritual being, having a human experience. Now that you've had some life experience, what is your experience now as a spiritual being having a human experience?
It's so totally different from the beginning of the journey. And because now I really relate to that question, I feel like I'm guided by spirits all around me, that there's information all around me that's available, but just to open up to listen to it. It's so far beyond just intuition. And I'm also a co-creator in that. I also believe in divine timing, much more than just things happen for a reason at the time they do. It's sort of like in the beginning part of my life, I was put into a basket on a river, and I was just floating along down the river. And eventually, it was a gentle river at first, but then picked up speed, and there would be rocks and obstacles here and there. So I was given the opportunity to start steering that boat and also reshape it into more of a vessel that I could steer down that river. So it's sort of a metaphor for me on co-creating my life with the information that's available. And intuition is a great place to start because it still remains a strength for me. Don't do that. Okay. And I notice when I go ahead and do that, I regret it a little bit. I would say one of the very biggest lessons I've learned about all of it is it's all about being. The ability to just be here now, be in the moment, to be of service, to be available to what is available, it creates huge shifts in what I see.
Yes, it does. And one of the first, I'm going to kind of tell on you for a minute. So One of the very first things that I remember David saying to me, because I was an energy worker and a healer, as well as a massage therapist, is he touched a table and he said, did you know that you can receive the energy of the wood that was put into this table and the people that made the table and connected to the wood that made the table? And I was like, whoa, this dude is deep. Wow, and he's my boyfriend. That's crazy. But I thought that was really awesome. And I knew that I was in for quite a ride with this journey.
Me too. And I would just translate it a bit, maybe something more accessible. Consider all the effort that went into the making the clothes that you're wearing now, probably the efforts of 50 people at least worldwide have gone, efforts and energy of those people have gone into making the clothes that you're wearing right now. So it's something to, that's interesting to consider. The other thing I take away from my Vision Quest experience and in the notion of being, when you're in the middle of the storm, any storm, be in the storm. Recognize that the storm will end, that there will be a morning after, that the sun will come out tomorrow, that whatever you have to do to get through that, there's a knowingness that you can take, even if you're in a really dark place, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. So, and help is available, and it doesn't just come from other humans. And everybody has a different level of what they believe in. But I firmly believe, and I didn't at first, that there's energy and information in everything. And I would also say, having experience for me, it's all relative, but for me, I've been through three near-death experiences in my life. And I feel like we're all at risk of being a near-death experience every day.
Yeah, so I want to acknowledge, actually, all of us who are here in this now, in 2021, we have been experiencing a near-death experience since 2020. Mm. And it's collective. It's a global pandemic that we all have been experiencing in one form or another. Some of you have loved ones that have passed. Others are already dealing with the virus now. Others have lost employment. Lots of different things have happened in the last year that we really want to acknowledge that we have made it to this point. Mm-hmm. And collectively, we can create solutions for everything that we're going through, and we never have to do it alone.
That's
and
true.
That is my message to you, is don't do life alone. Mm-hmm. Reach out to your friends, your loved ones, your spirit guides, teachers, and angels that love you. So what's happening next week? We are going to go into the language of light with you. I will be taking calls next week for those of you who want to experience healings or blessings or celebrating an experience in your life. That's what I'll be sharing. And David, how can you be reached if they want to connect more with you from today?
I just want to follow up again too, for next week. It'll be an introduction into the language of light. So if you have questions about it or requests for healing, then you can email theempowermeshow@gmail.com. Both of us can be reached there. You can also go to www.brightbutterflyenterprises.com for more information about Pam's services. You can find me on LinkedIn. What I want to say about this episode's content is we're both available. If you feel so called and you feel comfortable to reach out to us for spiritual guidance on a journey, on your journey for help through, we are available for that. That's a big part of why we're doing this work here. Once again, you can find a Pinterest board and a YouTube playlist of music videos that kind of represent my vision quest that I went through. Some of that may be helpful for you to kind of make your own playlist. And it's about being, but also reflection and reflecting within yourself and seeing what you find there. And there's a lot of dark, but there's, I think, more light.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And we are all about light and dark together and honoring both.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for tuning in today. We absolutely love you and honor you for your journey. And until next week, have a wonderful, wonderful day, evening, and next week, we will see you at the same time, same place.
And I'll be back every other week. I'll be a co-host on the show, so you'll see me a couple of weeks from now. So thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright on Transformation Talk Radio. Tune in every Monday at 3 p.m. to learn more about living a fully empowered life. Remember that your life is up to you, and you can choose the spiritual path you are on. There is spiritual energy and wisdom in everything and everyone around you. Listen carefully for what the universe is trying to tell you in every moment. You are already being guided along your journey. Call upon your spirit guides anytime you need help with anything. Know that you are safe in every moment, even if it seems that you are not. For more information about Pam Bright, visit brightbutterflyenterprises.com or email theempowermeshow@gmail.com. Thank you very much for listening. We hope to see you next week.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.